You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
And welcome. We're glad you're here for a conversation with Dawn Karima. Energetic, exciting, entertaining, and informative.
Welcome to our show today. Oh, I'm so thankful you've joined us today. I'm so thankful I joined us today. My name is Dr. Dawn Karima, and I am delighted to welcome today's guest to our show. He is a blessing, and you will think the same. Would you please introduce yourself to us?
Yes, Dawn, how are you today? My name is Jacob King, and I've been blessed to be on your show a couple of times before. I'm the owner of King Me Unlimited, a business consulting firm here in Atlanta, Georgia.
Well, we are so happy that you're here. Thank you for joining us today. You know, we had such an amazing response to your appearance the very first time you came on that we had to have you right back. It was like we didn't even have a turnaround. We were, you know, everyone was like, well, let's get him back. And then we had a just outstanding response to your next appearance. And so I'm really honored and grateful that you're with us today.
Well, thank you. I'm honored to be asked back.
We have learned so much from you and continue to. And when I think of you, I think of so many great words, but one of them is resilient. And, you know, every morning we get up lately and it's almost like damage report. You know, the news is crazy and strange things are happening and the world is turning upside down, it seems. And I'd love to know your suggestions for surviving shifts like this.
Well, it is very difficult. You know, I can't even, you know, front, as they say.
Yeah.
That, you know, it's a trying time for everyone. Mm-hmm. Since we last spoke, you know, I went through some things myself.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Surviving and thriving in this time,
mm-hmm.
It's really, you know, one thing that, you know, I could suggest, and that's to continue to hold to God's unchanging hand.
Yeah, yeah.
When you told me the topic, the first thing that I thought about was Isaac, you know, out of the Bible.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, the scripture in Genesis says that Isaac sowed in the time of famine.
Yes.
And, you know, he reaped a hundredfold from in the time of famine. So when you look at our environment, it looks like that, like you said, a damage report. You know, there's so many different things going on with the weather, with the pandemic, with job reports, with inflation. But he had the audacity to continue to sow because the laws of sowing and reaping are set in motion. And if we participate, they will work for us, and no matter what environment that we're in, especially if we're holding on to God's unchanging hand.
Wow. You know, that is incredible. Thank you so much for bringing that to mind. You know, for so many years of my life, I stood on Genesis 26:12. You know, that Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year a hundredfold return. And I really appreciate you bringing that out and reminding me of that, because you're exactly right. Such wisdom, and I really appreciate you sharing that with us. And, you know, Isaac actually went through the wells, right? Where he dug a well and someone would stop it up. He dug another well and someone would stop it up, and he would dig another well. And finally, God made room for him. And so I love what you're saying, and I thank you for it. And I'm going to ask you a step here. Okay, Isaac sowed in that land that can't have been pleasant, right? It was a difficult time. Famines are hard. Droughts are hard. This is hard. How do we apply that to our own lives? Because I think sometimes I'm sorry, go ahead. How do we apply that to our own lives?
Like you were saying, you know, Isaac showed a lot of resiliency, but he was also showing consistency, that even though, you know, different things were happening and he was receiving some obstacles and hurdles, he kept jumping over the hurdles and, you know, continuing the process. And we can't let what gets out in front of us, you know, stop us. We have to find some way, some shape, some form to keep on moving. You remember the words of, you know, Dr. King, you know, his birthday is coming up this weekend. But, you know, he said, you know, if you can't walk, then crawl. If you can't crawl, then scoot. You know, just continue to move forward is basically, you know, one of the things that I could suggest practically. You have to find out where you are. You know, sometimes do an assessment. To locate your faith, figure out, you know, where your faith really is, and then if you need more faith, then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Yes.
So, you know, get the word of God into your heart, into your spirit, and let your faith increase. You know, that mustard seed faith will grow up to develop and produce big things. So, you know, that consistency and, you know, developing and locating your level of faith is good starting points.
Wow. You just helped me, and I know you just helped many other people. I love that idea of an assessment and an inventory. You know, where are we? What do we have to work with? So as we look at this, like we're going to take an assessment. We're going to look at where our faith really is. We're going to locate our faith. We're going to look at what we really have. What do we do if it's not so great?
Well, just like you, this is a perfect time at the beginning of a new year.
Mm-hmm.
To, you know, write out those goals, make those resolutions for people who do that, and, you know, kind of find out where we are. But it's just like going to the gym. When you develop your muscles, you start off with a small weight, and as your muscles develop, you can lift and stretch them. And get more and more strength in your muscles to handle more weight. It's the same way with our faith, that we begin by believing for small things and exercise our faith, just like we exercise our muscles, and develop our faith into believing for bigger and bigger things. Because we serve a big God.
Yes. Yes, we do. And I love your example Because it feels like to me that no matter where you are, no matter what the reality of your situation is right now, doesn't it seem like you still have hope? I mean, our friends that are listening, they may be listening and going, oh, you just don't know how bad this is. But with what you're saying, it seems like it would give us all more hope in our situation, right?
Definitely. You know, when you think about this, too, when it's the darkest, it doesn't take a whole lot of light to dispel the darkness.
Right. Right.
So looking at our situation in the world today, it seems kind of bleak or dark at times, but all it's going to take is a little bit of light to dispel that darkness. So that's why we can have hope in whatever situation we find ourselves in.
Oh, wow. That is amazing. That is just amazing. And I'm so grateful that you said that because, you know, all we have to do if we're in darkness is turn on the light, some light, one match, and it's not dark anymore, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I love that. What's the role in community? Like, what is the role of a community, your friends, your family, your church, affinity group? What's the role of community in helping us shift during times like this?
Well, we all have, you know, what I would like to refer to as specialities or different gifts that we can contribute. And community really helps us to support one another.
Mm.
You know, you may have one gift that I don't have, and therefore we can help each other in those different areas and give each other support as we're moving forward. So, you know, community is very important. You can do more with two than you can do with one.
Yeah.
You can do more with 10 than you can with 5. So that's the power of community. It's, you know, people working together in unity to bring about a goal or a purpose.
That's beyond beautiful. And so as we think about gifts, you know, isn't it wonderful? God is so kind that he didn't just leave us here and say, well, hope you make it. You know, he gives gifts to us. And those gifts are for other people to share with other people. How do we find and identify the gifts that we might have?
That's a great question. And I'll give, you know, two different answers. The first, you know, you definitely should pray about it. You know, ask God to reveal to you what your gift is. That is kind of a generic, you know, type of answer. But secondly, you can identify your gifts by what you're naturally good at.
Mm-hmm.
What comes easy for you. You know that speaking engagements or comes natural to you, then
yes,
you have a gift of, you know, speaking in front of people. If you sit down and can write out poetry, then, you know, you have that gift. So what things come easy to you. And those aren't really hard to identify, you know, if you're paying any attention to yourself.
I love it. And I want all of our friends, just think about it right now, you know, because if we say we'll do it later, we're not gonna. So just think about it right now. Think about some of the things you like and enjoy doing. The things that other people, when you do them, thank you for doing them. Bless you, you know, thanks. That really helped me. things that perhaps you have an interest in. You like doing them. You want to find out more about them. You're good at them. You do them. Other people might struggle at them. I know, you know, the very first time I ever performed before an audience, I sang, and I was four and a half years old. They handed me a mic. I sang a solo. I loved it. I loved doing, anytime I can speak in front of people, I enjoy it. I really did. And other people are afraid of public speaking. But whenever they have church work day, they always ask me to sing hymns and keep everybody entertained, but they don't ask me to do any actual building or hammering or cleaning. So maybe that's not my gift. Mm-hmm. What's yours as we think about it? Just think about it for a minute as we continue. Really, what are your gifts and how can we use those gifts? How can we actually help other people by using our gifts and talents? I love what you're saying about finding our gifts, because I think then that gives us some more hope as well. Like, we're not just in this unarmed, you know, it's not just a battle and we have nothing and we're just, you know, oh, well, hope we make it. Now, when we use our gifts in community, when we help other people by using our gifts, what happens to us?
I think that, you know, we're built up. I think that it you know, helps us to develop. One thing, if I could, you know, back up a little bit.
Please, okay.
When you don't recognize that you have a purpose, that's a time when you can become depressed, you can become dissuaded, you can become, you know, hopeless. But when you recognize that you have a gift, you have a talent, you have a purpose, that kind of keeps the hope going. And it will open up the light that you need in order to dispel the darkness.
Mm-hmm.
So purpose, you know, plays a key role in, you know, even like you were saying, you were happy to wake up this morning.
Yeah.
And happy to be here.
Yeah.
If you don't have a purpose, then you're just kind of going through the motions. I read something about 2 weeks ago where it said that the person died at 25, but they wasn't buried until they were 75.
Oh, my.
A profound statement, you know, that was. That means it was, you know, going through life in a mundane, robotic fashion. You wasn't really living.
Right.
You were just going through the motions. And that's a tragedy.
Yes. Oh my, that is incredible. That will help us put everything in perspective if we think about it like that. Isn't that powerful? You know, a purpose and a destiny will protect you. There'll be some things you just won't do, some people you just won't connect with. Not because you're better than them or because you are prideful or superior. They just don't align with your destiny. There's just some things you just won't do. They won't even be interesting to you because you have a destiny. You have some place to be, you know. And that is an amazing thing. And a destiny will guide you. Purpose will guide you. If you have a purpose and a destiny, then you'll know what steps to take because there'll be things that fit with the destiny and the purpose that God has given you. And I love what you're saying because in a pandemic, it literally is a fog. In a economic challenge, it's a fog. There's almost a fog. And yet your purpose and your destiny is almost like that headlight or that searchlight or that lighthouse that's like, over here. Keep coming this way. keep coming this way. Don't get distracted by that. That's just the devil waving his arms and jumping up and down. Don't look over there. Just keep coming towards God and the purpose and plans that he has for you, because those are plans for good, for peace, not evil, to give you a future and a hope, an expected end. So I'm getting excited now because I feel like a lot of us are going to really refocus on our purpose because of what you're saying, and we're going to think about our purpose. And so what do we say to our young people right now? Because there is a lot of noise. There's a lot of spiritual chatter. There's a lot of distractions and destructions happening right now. And so how do we talk to our young people about their purpose and destiny?
I think that that is a great question. I think that especially with some of the things that, you know, they're being exposed to, that it's important to talk to our youth while they're young, to train them up in a way that they should go so that when they're older, they won't depart from it.
Mm-hmm.
And that requires, you know, us having the time to sit down and talk to them, to convey some things to them, to, you know, tell them about our experiences, to pass on, you know, our challenges and our shortcomings and also our victories, you know, the tests that we face and the testimony that occurred because of the tests that we face. So, in helping them identify, you know, what their purpose is. And doing that at an early stage so that they don't get to the point where they're burnt out at an early age.
Yeah, that is, I mean, that's really profound. That's really good. What were some of the things, words or energy or people that sowed into you when you were a young person? We're still young people. We still are, but a very young person.
Yeah.
And helped you along your path. Do you have any memories of those? Because I remember Sunday school teachers. There are elders that I remember being nice to me and encouraging me when I was, you know, very small. And I still remember that love and that energy, and it helped me along my way. Do you have any folks or memories like that?
Oh, definitely. I remember, like you said, going to Sunday school when I was a child and, you know, learning about the different stories in the Bible and, you know, being encouraged that some of those things, how they could apply to your life.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that's one thing that some people don't have, and that's a foundation that speaks to the final authority in their lives.
Oh, okay.
And that foundation for me is the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
That's the foundation and final authority that I can refer to. That way it's not changing, you know, based on the weather. It's not changing based on what's going on in the world today. If the world says that it's okay to do such and such and so, then I'm going to fluctuate based upon what the world says. No, my foundation is based upon what the Word of God says. And I think, you know, that's important that we have, you know, some type of foundation in order to determine, you know, how we move in the world, you know, being in the world, but not of the world. It's two totally different things. And I think young people, you know, need to have that as well, or they can be distracted or persuaded to go different ways based upon, you know, what the world is doing.
Excellent point. And so how do we practically encourage our young people right now? I mean, one day they're in school, the next day they're homeschooled, and okay, wear a mask and get your vaccine. Oh no, wait, you're too young to get vaccinated. They're seeing these news reports. They're hearing us, you know, concern, and they see what's happening even to people in the news. You know, people are getting hurt and shot and things like that. And so what do we do to help and encourage and uplift them, practically speaking?
I think it's a matter of reminding them and ourselves that, you know, things are going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to know who our source is. And our source is not based upon the things that are happening. Our source is, you know, being rooted and grounded in God. He is our ultimate source.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that we forget about at times, and that we need to be reminded of,
mm-hmm.
is that we have different traditions, different slogans, different sayings that are not necessarily true.
Right.
But mm-hmm. we can find out what's true by referring to the word.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll give you a quick example of that. It's like you think that if you go outside without a coat, that you'll catch a cold.
Right, but, yeah.
But that isn't written anywhere in the Word of God.
No,
it's not. You'll catch a cold if you go outside without a coat.
No, but we treat it like it is, though. People treat it like it's a real proverb or something.
And you know, it will be if that's what you believe.
Yes, right.
But it's based on your belief.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if we ingrain ourselves with the right beliefs, then we'll have the right results.
Wow, that'll preach. You know, this is a great time for us to take an inventory, an assessment of our right believing.
Mm-hmm.
Are we believing out of habit? Are we saying things out of just habit? Are we saying things because somebody else said them? Now we're saying them. Are we believing? Are we really believing God? What do you really believe right now?
Exactly.
Oh, I love it, because I can see right now folks are getting set free. You know, there's an amazing story in the Gospels where a leper comes to see Jesus. And he says, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus said, "I will. Be clean." And I think about that story a lot, because I think sometimes we have myths or folklore that we try to add to our lives, or it's just, you know, somebody said something in a song, or someone said something to us one time, and we just latch onto that like it is. But really, only the gospel is the gospel. You know, the word is the word. And I think about a time in my life where, you know, people were almost trying to make it hard to receive from God. Well, you have to do all this, and you have to do that, and you have to do this. And, well, if you just do this, and you do that, and then, and I was tired. And I came across that story of the leper who just simply said, "Lord, if you're willing." And Jesus said, "Yeah, I'm willing." And I received my healing in that situation. And so right now, I just want us to think for a minute, you know, what are we believing? Do we really think we're doomed? Do we really think it gets worse every day? Do we really think we're hopeless and helpless, or, you know? And my granddaddy used to say, repentance ain't no big thing. Just stop and turn around. If you're going the wrong way, just stop and turn around. And so right now, if there's some things you've been believing, or maybe you're not believing anything, you're just kind of coasting, this is a great checkup for us to do something that will fix it. One thing I really appreciate about what you're saying was that victory. You talked about saying that, telling people about a testimony that we have, you know, what we went through, and the victory that came out of it. And I think right now is a really good time for us to not just dwell on what's bad and what's terrible on the news or whatever, but actually start intentionally sharing our victories with people. and helping them to have a testimony. And so we have to go to commercial for just a moment, and I'm loving this conversation, and thank you so much for being here. But when we come back, I hope we'll talk much more about victory and about how we really can not just survive, but as you said, thrive, even during strange and perilous times. We'll be right back after this commercial. And while we're gone, this is a great time for you to take that spiritual inventory, that assessment, that checkup. What are your guests? What are your gifts that you have that God has given you? How can you use them? What are you believing right now? Where is your faith? And we'll be right back.
Lord, can you come and save her? Better believe they get on their knees and pray hard. They pray hard and never look back. Once the world forgave you.
What do you think you're doing, Kevin?
I was just going to drive home.
There are several warning signs present that you shouldn't be driving.
Like hearing voices?
Like your text to emoji ratio?
Oh, man, the selfies.
Selfie nailed it.
We all have warning signs that let us know that we're probably not okay to drive. Mine is pretending to be your subconscious.
Craig, come on, man, let's put a ride home.
When you take your car in for an oil change, a good mechanic will also take care of other routine maintenance to make sure your car runs safely and efficiently. Protecting your health isn't much different. When you get a COVID-19 vaccine, it's important to make sure you're also protected from other serious but preventable diseases. It's easy and convenient to get other routine vaccines at the same time as a COVID-19 vaccine. So make sure you ask a healthcare professional about other vaccines you may need to maintain your health.
Unlike other health concerns, mental illness is not always easy to see.
D-E-P-R.
Mental illness doesn't show up on a scale.
Bipolar?
Sorting out a mental health concern takes professional diagnosis and treatment.
Anxiety. I thought so.
If you or a loved one has a mental health concern, don't go it alone. For 24-hour free and confidential information and treatment referral, call 1-800-662-HELP. Learn more at samhsa.gov/support.
Extinction is forever. To save America's most iconic and imperiled species from extinction, we must fight for their future. Fight to save the natural lands that wildlife call home. Fight to limit pollution. Fight for smart development. Fight for their future. And fight for ours. For so goes nature, so goes us.
We are strong, and we'll get through this together. But these are stressful times. Reach out to someone, connect with your friends, and know that you are not alone. Visit wearebroadcasters.com/hope. Furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
This is the sound of confidence soaring.
Our mission is to educate, inspire, and honor.
This is the sound of honor roaring.
We should never, never forget those that gave their lives.
This is the sound of a generation rising above.
337 for Bravo Fox Papa.
We want to be involved in the education of young people so that they can take our aircraft and the stories that our pilots tell and realize their own dreams.
The Commemorative Air Force honors the heroes of yesterday while educating and inspiring the heroes of tomorrow.
Your future and how you live your life is dependent on how you think.
You can learn more at commemorativeairforce.org right now.
Yeah, oh Lord, can you come and come and save her. Better believe they get on their knees and pray all. They pray all. It never looked bad once the war forgave you.
We are having an amazing conversation. This is truly life-changing and enlightening. And it's all because of our guest and his willingness to share his wisdom with us today. Would you please reintroduce yourself to us?
Certainly, Donna. My name is Jacob King, and I live in Atlanta, Georgia, and I'm very happy to be here with you today.
Well, I'm just so blessed by you being here and all of your sharing and your wisdom. Thank you so much. King me, what does that mean? Tell us about your business and how maybe we might need some consulting, or how we can connect with you or be part of what you do.
Well, King Me is an elevation. You know, like when you're playing checkers.
Yeah.
And you get to that back world. you say, King Me.
Yeah.
You know, you put that extra layer, the extra checker on top.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to the next level.
Yeah.
So you're able to do things in a super way over the natural way.
Mm.
So what I do in business consulting is help people take an idea or some of the things that they want to do to the next level.
Okay, there is so much in that that applies to these days and times.
Yeah.
So what does it really mean? You know, people say, like, this is next level, or, you know, elevate, or something like that. But what does that really mean in terms of our practical lives?
It could mean different things for, you know, different people.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever that next step is, you know, for you. But again, you know, we were talking about doing an assessment of mm-hmm. where we are. So this is directly in line with, you know, what we were talking about before, and making that assessment as to, you know, what are those next steps? What are the goals that you have for, you know, your 1 month, your 3 month, your year, your 3 year plan, your 5 year plan? What are some of the things that you would like to see happen in your life? And then what steps are you going to take in order to get there?
Mm-hmm.
Those are some of the things that, you know, I did at the end of the year in preparation for the beginning of this year.
Mm-hmm.
Sat down with and made out those goals as to what I would like to see happen within those time frames. And once you do that, I would encourage you to pray over it and then ask the Lord to show you what steps that it's going to take in order to make it happen.
Fantastic. That is fantastic. And we're all going to do that, right? We're all going to, all of our friends listening, we're going to, if you haven't already, this is still a great time to do that. And so as we do that, should we make realistic goals, or should we actually make miraculous ones?
I would say both.
Okay.
I think that in exercising our faith, that we should definitely always ask for big things.
Mm-hmm.
Because like I was saying before, we serve a big God. But we also should do some realistic goals as well, so that it's something that we can attain. It's something
mm-hmm.
that it is attainable. Because once you start to see, you know, some successes happen,
mm-hmm.
That can be like your tipping point that will provide the momentum that you need in order to continue to move forward and develop.
This is so helpful. This is really helpful because it gives us some perspective. As we pray over the steps we should take toward these goals, you know, how do we know when it's God? Right? Like, we've all seen somebody, like, sell everything they have, and they're going to become a rapper. And then we see them, like, 2 weeks later, and they have nothing. Or we've seen people who are like, oh, no, God told me to do this, and they do something, and their life blows up. And then we've seen other people who have prayed and obeyed, and now, wow, they're buying a house, or they have a beautiful family, or they started a business, and it's going well for them. What's the difference?
Those are really great examples. one thing that helps me in my decision-making process is in Philippians, it says, you know, let peace be your umpire.
Ooh,
and this
yeah.
is one of the things that, you know, Paul talks about in the things that we think about. You know, instead of thinking about different things, he gives us a list of things that are good to think about. Then he says, you know, let peace be your umpire.
Right.
If you have peace about a decision that you're going to make, I would suggest that you move in toward that area and make that decision. But if there's no peace, if you're uneasy about it, or if there is, you know, if you feel some turbulence, then I would suggest that you do not make that decision. If we, you know, kind of follow that, and some people refer to it as a gut instinct.
Yes, right.
And you know within yourself, you know, what that feels like. If your gut is telling you that this is not a good decision, and you go ahead and make it,
right.
9 times out of 10, it's not going to end up with the results that you wanted it to yield for your life.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if we're following our peace, you know, that the gut instinct that's telling us that it's okay,
yeah.
then 9 times out of 10, it's a good decision. And then there are those times when it is a good decision, but you encounter some unfortunate circumstances.
Right.
Still. And in those cases, the enemy is trying to keep you off a particular path. And show you some things that are against what you know, God, where God wants you to go and where God wants you to be. And I can give you, you know, direct example of that, you know, from the scripture as well. Mark chapter 4, we talked about the sower sowing the seed.
Yes.
In four different grounds. You know, and the enemy's job is to try and steal that seed. And he will provide, you know, different mechanisms if you're not sowing it into good ground. And good ground is just the ground that was able to keep the seed. The other three types of ground, one of them received it right away, but then as soon as they went away from the mirror, they forgot what they looked like. They forgot what the seed was like. And, you know, he was able to snatch it. But that third type of seed is when the cares of life and the deceitfulness of riches was distracting them. And they weren't able to keep the seed. So that's what I was kind of describing in that example before, that sometimes you make the right decision, but, you know, there are different circumstances that come along that are against, going against what that decision is in order to, you know, keep you from the promised land, so to speak. So you just have to be mindful of, you know, keeping that peace and staying planted in the right soil so that you can develop that hundredfold return that you want to receive out of the seed.
That's incredible. Thank you so much. I mean, that's so helpful, because I think about the very first day I started my radio show. I lost my voice. Just lost it. Didn't have a cold, nothing wrong with me. Just couldn't say a word all morning. And everyone was panicking. And what are we going to do? And all of this stuff. And I called one of our elders that I absolutely trust. And I couldn't say anything. So I kind of had to just sort of at them. And they said, you walk in that studio and you sit down at that microphone, and God and your voice will be there to meet you. And 15 minutes before I was scheduled to go on the air, I didn't even have a voice anymore. And people were giving me tea and lemon and honey and ginger and praying. And a little greasy spot on my head from anointing oil. Everyone was trying to help me in some way, right? And I still didn't have it. And I sat down in front of the mic, and they said, okay, well, we'll count you in, I guess. And they did, and I opened my mouth, and my voice came out. I realized at that moment that was the spirit of intimidation trying to stop me. And now, all these years later, and all these awards and everything that God has been able to do to help people and bless people through this show, what if I had said, well, I just got to call it off, I guess. Yeah, it's just not working out. And that's a small thing. I know people are going through some really, really big things. And so I would ask right now that you'd honor us by speaking directly to our friends who are listening, who are going through really big things. Help them to keep going forward.
Wow. And that's an incredible direction. So what I will do is do my best.
Amen.
If you are, you know, listening and you are going through some things, I would encourage you, you know, to first, you know, have a relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That he is the way, the truth, and the life, that no man can come unto God but by him. And then, you know, get into the Word of God. Let it be the final authority in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Let it help you to make some decisions, and then let that peace be your umpire as you move forward in making those decisions and doing that assessment and finding out what your purpose, what your gift to this world is, because you are here for a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
You do have gifts to offer, and we're counting on you.
Mm-hmm.
There are people who need you. Don and I need you.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. To step up and do what you're supposed to do so that we all can move forward together as a community. So we are counting on you, and we love you, and we're hoping for the best.
Yes.
Out of your
Amen. That's just beautiful. Thank you. Thank you. We love you. We love you. As much as we love you, God loves you. And I really appreciate you sharing that with us. And everything that you've shared with us today has been truly magnificent. And I want to make sure that before we go, is there anything you want us to know about you or about your business that we don't already know?
Well, I do have to share, you know, my testimony on what I've been through.
Wonderful.
Especially here recently, since we last had an opportunity to speak, I went through having COVID myself and having to be hospitalized and on a ventilator for a while.
Oh,
and
my.
Having oxygen. I had pneumonia with I guess, the strand that I had, and had to be in the hospital for about a month, and then a rehab facility for about 3 weeks after that before I was even able to, you know, get back home. But the whole time, I wasn't in fear because I know who my God is.
Amen.
And, you know, I have a relationship with him, and he kept me.
Yes.
He was able to, you know, keep me going, you know, during that time. And I had a community that was, you know, praying for me and helping to strengthen me in that way. My family, my friends, you know, would all keep in contact and, you know, make sure that I was doing well, that I was progressing. And it didn't look good. It didn't feel good. But as, you know, the lady who lost her son that was going to see the prophet,
yeah,
she said it was all good. It was all good.
Yeah.
So that is, you know, a recent testimony that, you know, I know what this thing, you know, feels like, and it doesn't feel good, but God still had me at my back.
Yeah.
Even at the worst of times. So, you know, now things are much better, and near back to 100%. You know, there are times when I'll still get dizzy for no reason, but I don't know where that's coming from.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, even with that, I'm not concerned because I know my Creator and my Savior lives, that I'm redeemed by the
Amen.
Blood of the Lamb. So.
Amen. Wow. Well, first of all, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for this amazing testimony and this great miracle. And thank you for sharing it with us. Because, you know, there are some things we go through just because we're able to comfort other people who go through them later on. And I believe your bravery and your courage and your pressing through is a great testimony to many people right now, people who have loved ones with COVID or going through it, long haul, whatever it is that they're going through right now. Your testimony just uplifted them and reminded us of who is really in control. And so I'm so grateful that you're better and you're feeling better, and I believe God's going to heal you in many, many more ways. And I really appreciate you sharing that with us, and I'm sorry that you had to go through that, but I thank you for being willing to share everything that you've shared with us. You know, it would be, you've already shared so much wisdom and so much hope and victory. That's a real victory testimony. You know, when I was a kid, sometimes we'd go to testimony service and people would just really have a whole highlight reel of what the devil did that week. But our testimonies are really supposed to be victory, how we overcame. You know, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. And you just gave us a tremendous testimony to remind us, you know, that even in the midst of this, God is still a great physician. And I'm so thankful that he was a physician for you. You know, it would be such an honor, and I don't want to put you on the spot, If you're willing, it's fine. If not, that's fine too. But I would really like to close out this time together by praying for our friends that are listening. Would you be willing to do that for us, please?
Definitely. Definitely. Are we both going to pray, or do you just want me to pray?
I would love for you to pray, if you would pray. I'll pray too if you want me to, but I would love for you to pray because you really know what it's taking to get through this, and you really have a testimony and all of that that I think will help someone right now who's listening to us.
Okay. All right, Heavenly Father, we indeed are grateful. We're so thankful for your presence in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Lord, that you're with us, that you're for us, and you're also in us. It's our hope, it's our destiny, it's our future. In you, we live and move and have our being, Lord.
Yes.
And we're just so grateful for your presence. We thank you, Lord, for the protection of Psalm 91.
Yes.
We thank you, Lord, for the blessing of Deuteronomy 28.
Yes.
We thank you, Lord, for the light that you provide. You are our light and our salvation. We don't have a reason to fear.
Yes.
Because you are with us. No matter what we're going through, you will never leave us nor forsake us. That's your word, Lord. And we're dependent upon your promises. We thank you, Lord, for all the listeners that are tuned in at this moment and that will listen at any given point in time.
Yeah.
We pray for their strength. We pray for their direction. We pray that you reveal their purpose to them. And that you will lead and guide them as they trust in you. Your word says to trust in you with all of our heart.
Yes.
Lean not to our own understanding.
Thank you.
In all of our ways, we acknowledge you.
Yes.
So that you will direct our paths. And we thank you, Lord, for Don Karima and her radio show. And may you continue to bless her and keep her in your care. Increase her more and more, and may she be blessed to be a blessing.
Thank you.
This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us today. Will you tell us one more time how we can find you and your business, connect with you? We might need some consulting, whatever it is. How can we connect with you?
You can find me in the old-fashioned way by calling area code 614-769-8850. And the name of my company is King Me Unlimited LLC.
Beautiful. Thank you for joining us today. To all of our loved ones who listen, we just appreciate you so much. Our sponsors who help us do this, thank you so much. We're grateful to you and for you, to this network, which just gives us so much grace to be here and share with our loved ones and friends. And to our guests today, thank you so much for making time for us. Thank you for joining us today, Jacob King. You're a blessing to us. And we don't act surprised because we'll be calling you to have you back, I'm sure. So just be ready. When you
see it's
us. Because we loved everything you shared with us, and we love everyone who listens to this show. I'm Dr. Dawn Karima, and just in case nobody's told you today, we told you we love you. But remember, God does too. We'll see you next time.
Can you come and save her? Better believe they get on their knees and pray all. They pray all. They never look back once the war forgave you. She's silent.
Yeah, oh Lord, can you come and save her? Let her belly big, get on her knees and pray hard. Then pray hard and never look back once the war forgets.
You've got the power. The world's greatest radio. TalkTainmentRadio.com.